Sunday morning, we began to talk about purpose. You know, I said, you have two primary purposes that all of us share, and they are number one, two. Does anybody remember? Starts with a K. Know him. And number two, it rhymes with it. Show him. Say, know him. Say, show him. Amen. And so that's our primary purpose. And I had a lady come out and tell me, she said, man, you must have been looking in our windows this week. She said, my son thought I met with you and read you in and told you his story and everything going on in his life. I said, no, that's what happens when you listen to the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, every good Baptist will tell you when you ask them what prophecy is that it's preaching. Every good Pentecostal will tell you it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Everybody who's balanced believes that there ought to be an element of prophecy in all preaching. The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. And every single week, we pray that we'd be able to prophesy with pinpoint accuracy to the specifics in your life as we're directed by the Holy Spirit. I don't know what you need, but the Holy Ghost does. It blows my mind. I have my nephew home. He graduated from World Harvest this last year, and he's home now from Bible college before he goes off again to finish a degree somewhere else. And he said, one day when I start a church, I'm going to have three churches. I'm going to have one for beginners, and I'm going to have one for intermediate people, and I'm going to have one for mature people. I said, well, that's okay, but you come into a place like this, and we got all of the above sitting in the same room, yet everybody leaves with something. How is it possible that we can all come from a different place, come from a different background, be going through different things in our life that are completely different, and some redneck hillbilly comes in thumping a Bible and somehow it just seems to fit all of us, including me. You know that's a miracle. That we have babies who are 2 and 3 and 4 years old come in and hear the word of God, and they go home and repeat it to their parents all week, and they grasp it and they understand it. And then we have people who are adolescents in Christ. You know what adolescence is? Those awkward years. They're saved, but they're just weird. They're adolescents. They'll get there. And then you got the mature folks in the Lord. And it's amazing to me that we can all come to one place. You know what? I've never heard anybody leave here and say, man, I'm starved for the word. I'm just not learning anything there. Just not getting anything out of God's word there. That's good. The word is the answer to everything you will ever need. Jesus said, if you abide in my words, you will be my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's not the truth that makes you free. It's the truth you know that makes you free. Amen? I almost needed a healing in my teeth right there. Microphone. I got black paint on my teeth now. But praise God for his word. I thank God for the messages Minister Wiles shared with you the last 2 weeks. Would you give him some love tonight, even though he's not in the room? He'll hear it when he listens to this. But you know, his gift is teaching, and he's done a wonderful job really breaking down how the Bible came into existence, where it comes from, and those things. But you know, there's life in the Word. I had the privilege of sitting down with some very precious new friends named Josh and Dania Harder from Mexico City, Mexico, doing an amazing work there. It looks exactly like Victory Church. We've never met before, but Pastor Sam from Worship Center connected us and got to talk with them today and see what they're doing. They have an incredible ministry called The Well that reaches out to people who are involved in the sex slavery and sex trade industry, human trafficking. And not only that, but their children. If you think about some of the dynamics that go on about prostitution, you must understand that many of these women do not use birth control and also don't have abortions. So when they have these babies, they're left with the responsibility of raising these children most of the time alone, and those kids have to have somewhere to go while they're doing their job. Many times, those children are in the room with them. So they are one of the first homes in all of Mexico to be saving them. And they'll go into an area and they reach out to them and they offer medical assistance and they help them and they'll do daycare and they'll take care of those ladies who are working in that industry's children, even while they're going back to work. Why? They're showing them the love of Jesus Christ. At the same time, they're making an impartation into those kids, and one by one, they're rescuing them from a lifestyle and training them in a new trade. It's not enough for you to tell somebody, stop doing that. They may not know how to do anything else. And so they teach them in a trade and raise them up how to do something new. But we were talking today, and it was just amazing to hear how God's word works no matter who you are and no matter where you are. And that is a philosophy of ministry we have always had at Victory Church. I've always been convinced that people will live up to the standard of God's word that you feed them. That's why we don't have to beg you to give. We don't have to beg you to grow. We don't have to beg you to serve. And let me just pause right there and say thank you for every one of you who are serving on Team Victory in any capacity every single week. You are the lifeblood of this place, and without you, none of this would be possible. As many of us are as are in this room tonight, there is more than this outside these walls in children and children's workers. And without all of your help and contribution, whether it's the cafe, AVL, media duplication, whatever it might be, none of this is possible. So from the bottom of my heart, and especially on Sundays now, most of you said, man, we're just going to stay for both services. We love it so much. We're going to work them both. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Let's give God praise for that tonight. I can't even tell you how much I appreciate that. Let me tell you, there's room for more of you on Team Victory. We need more ushers. There's a volunteer application out there on the info desk. If you'd like to be an usher, please grab one. Fill that out. We'd love to have more greeters. Jeannie, is Woody here tonight? No? We'd love to have more greeters. Woody and Jeannie Oldroyd oversee that. What you looking for, John?
More musicians.
You want somebody to play ukulele?
Yeah, everything.
Musicians, singers, amen. You've got a skill, pick up a volunteer application, fill it out. We'll find a fit for you. Praise God. See, I love the fact that at Victory Church, there's a very important principle you must understand, that it's not only do we come together around this book, that's where it might begin, but we also come to give something back. We must be a people who contribute, because in America, the consumer mindset destroys the kingdom of God. The consumer mindset says, I can come in and I can pick and choose. I want this, but I'll leave that. But when you declare Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of my life, what you're saying is, I submit to you wholesale. I choose you completely. I don't choose part of your word. I choose all of your word.
Amen.
Now, here's the good news. You're only responsible right now for what you know. So walk in what you know and don't beat yourself up about what you don't know. God didn't expect you to learn it all in one day. As Pam and I like to say, we don't like to feed infants steaks. Right? Might put them in a blender and try it in a milkshake. Steak shake. Steak shake. I like that. Amen? See, it's very important that we understand these principles, because if we don't break the mindset that is permeating our culture, then it will affect the way with which we fulfill God's mission for us as a church. As a church and as a people, LaToya, we are on a mission. We are very driven and very passionate about the purpose. Somebody say purpose. The purpose God has given us. We are here intentionally, and it is not to get people saved so they can sit in a pew until the day they go home to meet Jesus and spend the next few decades perfecting the pitch of Amazing Grace. Our goal is not even to be a book club. If another Bible study could save America, America would be in revival. America doesn't need another Bible study, because I'm convinced we're educated beyond our own obedience. We cannot be the sponge that is never wrung out. The Dead Sea has many, many inlets, but zero outlets. For there to be life, there's got to be a flow coming in and a flow going out. In your body, there's a flow coming in and there's a flow going out. If there's not, it's time for a movement. Come on, church. Victory is not a monument, it's a movement. And if you stand in our wake, it's going to stink.
Wow.
I got to tell y'all something funny because all the kids are out of the room. While we were on vacation, they take you, you know, here it comes, tour of Italy. Some of y'all are like, I don't know what that means. You're too new. You'll hear it again one day. Yeah. So you go to all these fancy restaurants and you eat dessert and, you know, I talk a little bit different and you have these people from other countries that speak proper and a lot of it's French because French are known for their cuisine. And so there's one dessert called clafoutis and it was gorgeous and it was delicious. But I'm like reading through the menu and I said, yep, Vinay, I'm going to have that clafoutis. Sound like something I need to go to the clinic and get a shot for. Clafoutis. I'll have the clafoutis with a side of baba. That's what I got that night. But help me, Jesus, where were we? But the point is that the kingdom is a completely different paradigm to understand than anything that we face in this world. Think about it. Jesus said, in order for you to find your life, you've got to give it away. In order for you to live, you've got to die. In order for you to go up, you must go down. We call down humility. We call up exaltation. The Bible says he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. In our society, it teaches the exact opposite. The better you are and the better you do, the more prideful you've earned the right to become. Yet in the kingdom of God, it's the exact opposite. The first shall be last and the last shall be first. Those who lead the greatest will serve the most. Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist, and he didn't let them wash his feet. He washed theirs. He didn't say the Son of Man came to be served. He said the Son of Man came to serve. He said, I didn't come so you could give your life to me. This is what Jesus said. He said, I came so I could give my life for you. Amen. See, it's got to start the right way. There's a paradigm. Do you see then that there's a difference in seeing the kingdom of God the way God's word and Jesus came and presented it to us and stepping into the power of God, the life of God, the flow of God, the blessings of God must come that way and not our way. Okay, so when we have that consumer mindset, we come in and we say, well, the kingdom of God is all about me. I pick and choose what I want. Praise God, that message was for me. Praise God, I love that. But you know what happens? We begin to become very shallow and play and frolic in the flatlands of spiritual Christianity. Whenever we do that, because there may come a time when something's not for us. And then what do? We pack up our bags and we go somewhere else where we feel like this serves my needs. Making sense tonight? Instead of understanding, God has put me and planted me where he is to set down a root, to begin to grow a shoot, and then to bear fruit. That fruit is to be a blessing to everybody around me. Somebody say, bloom where you're planted. Say, bloom where you're planted. See, I've learned that tumbleweeds don't bear fruit. We must sink down roots and grow into the fertile soil of God's kingdom. One of my favorite things that I've watched God do over the last year is just the explosion of influence this ministry has locally. And I mean in our backyard in Troy in the last year. And just through the process of shining our light to local businesses and people in the area, they see and they know, man, they are who they say they are. There's no pretense there. Can I tell you, church, that it's critical that we be a people who are authentic. Look at your neighbor and tell them, just be real. Just be real. Look at your other neighbor and tell them, all of us struggle. Amen. But tell them, it's okay. Because victory is mine. Come on, we focus too much on the struggle and not enough on victory. Oh, praise Jesus. Very important that you understand that. We've got to be a people who aren't afraid to be real. And a people who aren't afraid to be authentic. It's one of the greatest things we hear when people come in that they love about the church. That it's real. The ministry's real. The people are real. We're not putting on a show. Amen. See, you know where that comes from? That comes from heart. And that's what I want to get to tonight. I want to just talk to you about heart. It's critical that we have
God's heart. It's critical that we have the right heart. I don't want to put on a show and at the end of my life meet Jesus face to face and him say, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Even though you worked miracles and won the lost and did great things and built my kingdom, I never knew you." I want to know him. My heart burns to know him. David said it like this. He said, "As the deer pants for the water, so pants my soul for God. When do I get to go see him again?" I want every single one of you to have a burning passion in your hearts for God. No matter where you're at in your walk with Christ, no matter what's going on in your life, no matter what it is you're struggling with, no matter who you are today, no matter how screwed up your life looks today, I want you to have a heart after God's heart. I want you to know that you can have a heart after God's heart, even in the midst of your mess. I believe that you can have a heart for God even when life is so screwed up. See, people with a heart for God, even though they might stumble, they continue to move forward with God. Amen? Does a baby learn to walk the very first time he gets on his feet? You expect him to fall a few times? What do? You brush him off, you help him up, and help him to keep going. Amen? You know it's possible to fail forward and fall forward rather than backward? Do you know that because you screwed up once doesn't mean you're backslidden? Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Amen? Backsliding is a condition of the heart where you choose to move backward in your walk with God. You hear what I'm telling you tonight? Just because you failed doesn't mean you're backslidden. You can fail your way forward. Everybody fails. Everybody makes mistakes. It does not make sin okay. It's not what I'm telling you tonight. I'm not even talking to you. You might as well not even be in the room tonight if you're looking for a license to live like hell and still go to heaven. Sorry, this isn't a conversation for you. This is for people who have a heart to please God. See, when we have a heart for God, people see that. People know that. Would you go in your Bible to Acts chapter 13, verse 22? I love the new screens and the new projectors. After all these years, we needed to replace the projectors for some progress taking place, and we're repurposing them and using the old ones in other places of the building. But our AVL team has worked their tails off, and really they just kind of put it back together for you tonight. They'll go back at it tomorrow. But just show a love. Would y'all let them know how much we appreciate them tonight? What you don't realize is that they save us thousands of dollars that we're able to invest into other things. Amen? And I thank God for the ability to have a technical team like we do. It's amazing. I thank God for the progress on the parking lot over there. That completes really the development of the land portion of the track that we currently own and makes that area out there usable. We've got this grassy area that our kids use pretty regularly, and we can actually park on it too. We've got the car show coming up June 9th. Wait, June what? June 19th. I missed a one there. June 19th, 1,600 people last year, over 200 cars, 13 people born again, at least 13, and I can't wait for this year. Amen? So invite somebody with you. Also, don't forget Jason Crabb will be here a week from this Sunday. Invite somebody with you. It's going to be an amazing time, and I just can't wait for that. Anybody excited about Jason Crabb? I'm pumped. He's no slouch. So Acts chapter 13, verse 22, here's what it says. It says, "And when he had removed him," it's talking about Saul, King Saul, "he," or God, "raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said," listen to this. Now, this is God's testimony of David. God is talking about this man. And God says this, "I've found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart." Can you imagine God saying, "I've found Bill"? Bill, what's your dad's name? Bill, "I found Bill, son of Bill, a man after my own heart." I love that. Amen. "I found Paulette." Paulette, what's daddy's name? Paul.
What in the world? I'm going to buy a lottery ticket after tonight. I'll tithe on it. Don't get all religious on me. Paul. So I found Paulette, daughter of Paul. She has a heart after my heart. You get my point tonight. Goodness. Let me find somebody who can't repeat their name. Carol, what is your dad's name? I promise I'll walk out of the room. Praise God. We broke the streak. I found Carol, daughter of Bill. She has a heart after my heart. That's written in the Bible. That can be your testimony. I said that can be your testimony. My God, help us. I don't want this to be a book club. I don't want you to just gather notebooks and know about God. I want you to know Him. I want to know Him. I'm not satisfied in my prayer life, Charlotte. I'm not satisfied where I'm at in my walk with God. It doesn't mean I'm not happy, but I want to know Him more. There's something in my heart that burns for Him and longs for Him. Just like Marsha, I love her, and I want to know her more every single day I'm with her. And there's always a new adventure. There's always a new exploration. There's always more to learn. It never gets old. Amen. It's like a date that never ends. That's the way it ought to be with God. Amen. He's the lover of my soul. Nobody has invested more into me than Him. He found me in the gutter. He picked me up. He pulled me out. It had nothing to do with me and everything to do with Him. I didn't find God. He wasn't lost. God found me. And He poured His life into me, and He saved me, and He blessed me, and nothing I have is because of me. Sometimes y'all come up to me, and you say, man, you thank you for being this or that or whatever, and I look at you kind of funny, and I hope you don't ever take it the wrong way. And it's because it's such an awkward moment for me, because nothing good in me is me. I know what my life is like without Him. I'm worthless without Him. I did life without Him. I promise you didn't want to know me unless you were in the club. The Bible says in James, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Everything good you see in me comes from Him. I thank God for that tonight. I want to know Him. I want to grow in Him. I want to love Him. I want to serve Him. I want us to have a heart for God, which means no matter what we're doing, not only is our heart in it, but God's heart's in it. And when we do life that way, y'all, everybody can see it. When you look somebody in the eyes and you have a heart that is passionate about God, then let me tell you that they can see His heart through you. Is this making sense to anybody tonight? I didn't come to teach you something. I came to challenge you tonight. I want a heart after God's heart. I want to see the heart of God to permeate our worship, church. I want to challenge you right now in your worship. It's time for us to take it up a notch. I'm just telling you straight up, it's time for us to take it up a notch. It's time for you to worship with everything you've got. David, the Bible says when he came back into town, they brought the Ark of the Covenant, which represented the presence of God, back into town. The Bible says he worshiped God. I mean, he shouted, he danced right down to his BVDs. He embarrassed his wife, and he didn't care what anybody else thought. Can I tell you that her name was Michael and she was barren and she never had children? If you have no praise in your life, you will never bear children or give birth to anything in the spirit realm. We have got to be a house, and I thank God for the sound of victory that's in this house. There are so many mornings I don't even sing and I stand there and listen to y'all, and it moves my heart so much. But I come to tell you, there is a treasure inside our hearts that Jesus Christ bought and paid for with His blood. And when we come in this place, this is not just a song. This is not just singing words. We are so intentional. There are hundreds and thousands of hours that go into our music ministry, because that is a prayer that you are offering up to God and saying, this is my gift. You say, well, you know what? Singing's really not my thing. Well, when you go to the Penn State game or you go to the Steelers game and they start playing Jump Around, I guarantee you, you're on your feet singing the song. Right?
But I want to challenge you in your worship that the heart, our heart ought to be in it. Our heart should be in our giving. Our heart should be in our service. Our heart should be in the way we approach God's word, where there's an openness in our life. That God, whatever your word says, I want it in my heart. I want it in my life. David said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Church, when we sow God's seed and his word into our heart, that's where it begins to transform our life. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If you're having problems swearing, why don't you put God's word in your heart and God's word will come out of your heart? Amen. It's that simple. What goes in your heart, in your ears, ends up in your heart. What's in your heart comes out your mouth. If you're thinking there one day, you know, somebody ticks you off and you're like, you blankety blank blank in your head. Why don't you say, God, remove that from my heart. Remove that from my heart. I don't want that there. Amen? Come on, this is good tonight. I'm challenging you. I am so desperate to have the heart of God. Because people are dying and people are desperate for Jesus. And people are going through situations in their life where they need somebody to just come and connect with them and show them the Father. And like I said Sunday, this all goes back to what we talked about. I can't show him unless I know him. I've got to have his heart before I can begin to try to be his hands. I said, I've got to know his heart and have his heart before I can try to begin to be his hands. And if out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, then how can I talk to somebody about Jesus when my heart's not his? When I don't have his heart. If I don't have his heart, then I can't speak his words. Because again, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So I've got to have his heart. I'm not talking about saying the right words. Anybody can say the right things. America is sick of that. Our political cycle is proving it. Have you ever seen the nation so fractured on both sides of the aisle? It's unbelievable. Neither party wants who they're offering. We're not happy with any of the stinking system. Amen? America is sick of just being told what they want to hear. Come on. We've got to be real. And that's where having the heart of God comes in, because God knows exactly what they need. Don't look at me and think I'm any different than you. Don't look at me and think, man, when he comes into a room, he can speak to 700 plus people in one morning and the message fits everybody. You know what? You can go out of here and prophesy the exact same way. The Bible says you can all prophesy and that all of us should desire prophecy. Prophecy is a supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, give God praise. Yeah. I want to speak into people's lives. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that when we prophesy like that, that people will fall on their face and they'll walk out of here going, God's in their midst. Can I tell you that's happening and has happened for 11 years? And it's one of the main reasons why we are where we are. But the transfer I'm making to you tonight is this. Get ready. I'm ready and God is ready for what goes on in here. To start happening. Oh, come on, if you're going to praise him, I don't want it to sound like the end of the bag of popcorn. From the cubicle at work, from the dolly that you run, I call them two-wheelers. I don't know what y'all call it, little carts, two wheels. You run stuff around. What do you call it up here? Dolly, okay. Girls play with dollies. I use a two-wheeler. Just saying. Southern thing. If you're a clerk, clafoutis. If you're a clerk. See, here's what you got to understand. St. Francis of Assisi said, preach the gospel and when necessary, use words. Heart. I can do something with heart. You, when you have the heart of God, you don't even have to say a word and people fall under conviction. See, we've got the wrong idea about conviction, too. We think that conviction is this scourging that comes from God, where all he does is beat you over the head about everything wrong in your life.
We've also got the wrong idea about the word repentance. Repentance just means to change the way you think. When I repent, Jesus said, repent and believe. I'm changing the way I think. I went from being a person who didn't believe in the gospel to now being a person who does believe in the gospel. It's the gospel that changes my life. It is the power of God to salvation. You can't tell somebody to repent and them do it on their own any more than a pig and a perfume and a bow tie, you know, makes it a poodle. Right? You can't change yourself. The message of the cross is the power of God to salvation. It's believing in the sinless life, virgin birth, substitutionary death, burial, and resurrection on the third day, ascension to the Father's right hand, and outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. All the gospel, by the way, that produces God's dynamic change on the inside of your life. Is this making sense to anybody? You got to change the way you think about repentance. The Bible says the goodness of God produces repentance. So let's back to the word conviction. We think conviction is this scourging. But you must understand that conviction is very simply to convince. There are some things I'm convicted about. I walk with a conviction that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. In other words, if someone stuck a gun to my head and said, say Jesus didn't do what he did or I'm squeezing a round off through your skull, I'd say, fire away, sucker. Because I have a conviction in my heart. I have a know that I know that I know that I know. That's what conviction is. So when somebody gets in your presence and you have the heart of God, they're not just convicted, but now that knowing that you have in them starts to get off on them. They start to get a glimpse of God by looking at you. Know him. Show him. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Give him praise. Conviction. Conviction. Let's say convince. To convict is to convince. The Bible says the Holy Spirit would come to convict sinners of their sin, the world of sin. Believers of their righteousness. He's convincing you of your righteousness. The Bible says, awake to righteousness and do not sin. If you're born again, you are as righteous right now as you're ever going to be. You will never earn greater righteousness than what you already have. Because the righteousness that God gives you when you accept his son as your savior is his righteousness. See, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, where did Jesus become sin? At Calvary. He took my sin upon himself. That's why he was cursed there. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The Father had to turn his face away because it was in that moment that Jesus became sin. God cannot fellowship with sin. Jesus experienced what it means and what it feels like to be separated from God. No wonder he intercedes so hard. No wonder he chases after the lost so hard. No wonder he ran through hell to come find you. Because he knows exactly how you felt. See, the Bible says we have a high priest who was tempted in all points like we are. He went through everything we did, yet he was without sin. He never sinned, but he did become my sin at Calvary. He took my sin upon himself. Why? So that I could become his righteousness. And righteousness simply means right standing before God. It is a legal term. It is a judicial term. That when you're born again and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, when you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord of my life, then God declares you to be righteous, which is what? Right standing before God. It is a process called justification. Somebody say justification. When a judge justifies a person, it means not only are they acquitted as if they weren't guilty, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit, right? Well, for us, the glove did fit. God still acquitted us. And to be justified means that he looks at me just if I'd never even sinned. I mean, the weight just falls off your back, and it's just so crazy to think this gospel is so good. And all of a sudden you're smiling, and all of a sudden you're radiating. Because I don't deserve any of this, and I know the things I did, and even God doesn't remember them anymore, even though I still do. He's not a man that he should lie. The Bible says he'd forget it and forgive it and remove it farther than the east is from the west. The two shall never meet, and throw them into the bottom of the sea. They're gone. Somebody say, my sin's gone. So when I get around other people and I understand I have this package I've given you tonight, I have the heart of God, and they begin to see something in me, they begin to see something in you that they know they can't afford, they know they haven't found it anywhere else, and they want it. That's the kind of way I'm talking about winning our world. I'm not talking about yelling people into the kingdom. I'm not talking about teaching people into the kingdom. I'm not talking about programming people into the kingdom, or whatever you want to call it tonight. I'm talking about people with a heart after God's heart like David. David screwed up so bad. He started so good. Some scholars say he was 60 or 65 when he pulled this fiasco with Bathsheba. Took another man's wife, had sex with her, knocked her up, had her husband killed, took her for his own. That's a pretty big screw up, not to mention he was the king of the country. Yet the Bible, in hindsight, backcasting, God says the guy was a man after my heart. His grace is sufficient for you. You don't have to fail your way out of his destiny. See, we're moving into one of the most important series I've ever preached on. You've got to know that God's plan for your life has not changed even when you've blown it. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Somebody say, I want the heart of God. I don't want to put on a show. Say, I don't want to put on a show. I want to be the real deal. I want to be Jesus. The Bible says in John that he's the Word made flesh. This book came to life in one man named Jesus Christ. He lived as an example so that you can do the exact same thing. So that when we feed on God's word and as we put it into action, people look at us and they see him. The message I share with you tonight, the messages I share on Sunday, I hope for God's sake they're more than entertainment. I hope for God's sake that it's more than just, I want my ears tickled. I want to feel an emotional tickle. I want to be excited. I want to jump and shout. I want to clap a little bit. I want to feel good about myself. It's not enough. Until every single one of you has the heart of God, we've got to be relentless. And still, every single one of them knows the heart of God. We've got to be relentless. Amen. You don't need to stand tonight, but I just want you to lay your hands over your heart right where you are. And I want to pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you that you interrupted this moment in our lives so that you could speak to us. I thank you that tonight, again, you prophesied through a vessel and you spoke life. You spoke edification, exhortation, and comfort to every person in this room. And Father, we know that it's for a purpose, that it's for an end. And the end doesn't end with us. But Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that this word not only be something we meditate on in our hearts, but God, let it be something our hearts marinate in.
until our hearts are transformed. Your word is eternal. I have spoken this word into the atmosphere. I have spoken to this word over our lives, over our hearts. And Father, I thank you that in the spirit realm, the word I've spoken will never go away. It reverberates forever. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, that your words that are spirit and life, I ask that they would produce that change in us you desire. They would produce the heart of God in us. I thank you. There is a matter of kingdom business that we cannot leave undone tonight for the Matthews family, for Larry's aunt. God, we take authority over that tumorous cancer in her body, diagnosed yesterday and only given maybe hours to live. Father, today, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you touch her body. I pray that you touch her husband's body. We take authority over cancer, and not by our word, but by your word, that whatsoever we ask in your name, you do. That if any two of us came into agreement on anything we ask, you do it. That by your stripes, she is healed. God, in the name of Jesus, tonight, we send your word to heal her, and we declare, Father, in Jesus' name, that cancer and tumors must bow their knee to the name of Jesus Christ. We declare that Jesus is Lord over her body tonight in the name of Jesus. We take authority over disease and we command it to go from her and her husband. No matter what report the doctors have said, we release your healing power, Father. We put her in your hands. You are the great physician tonight. We apply the blood over her. We take authority over you, Satan. We bind you and cast you out. Your plan will not prevail. We pray in the name of Jesus that kingdom come will be done on earth and in her body and in her husband as it is in heaven. Father, we thank you. Father, we will not settle and we will not sell out and we will not fall short of anything less than your perfect plan and will and purpose for us. I pray in the name of Jesus that this would burn in the heart and life of every one of us in this room. Father, in my life tonight, in my heart tonight, in a greater measure than ever before, Father, I pray that you would ignite our hearts with a raging inferno. God, that our hearts would be ablaze. Those whose hearts have just been embers tonight, breathe upon them now with the Holy Spirit's breath. I pray, God, that you'd stoke the flame. I pray, God, tonight for a raging inferno. I pray that we'd be touched by the fire. And as we walk out of this place, the fire touch everyone we meet. Father, thank you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. We thank you that we are loved, we are valued, we are wanted. We thank you, Father, tonight for who you are and for who we are. We declare that you are significant to us and we are significant to you. We give you praise and glory. We declare no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And Father, we thank you now in Jesus' mighty name. We walk out of here in increased anointing. We go walk out of here in victory. We walk out of here with hearts permeated by your love and your life and your light. We thank you, God, now in the name of Jesus, and we bless you and praise you and give you glory. Now, church, get on your feet and give Jesus the ovation of the night. Glory and honor. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, I want a heart after God's heart. I want a heart after God's heart. I love you. God bless you. Go show Jesus to somebody else. Amen. Can't wait to see you Sunday.